Hello, how are you doing today? This is Linda Sims on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. And the name of this program is The Voice of a People. Now, you know what? I got choked just before I came on the air. Forgive me, okay? And guess what? This is the 89th day in the year of 2021. There are 276 days remaining. So whatever you were not able to accomplish from January the 1st, whatever resolutions you may have made or told someone else that you were going to do for the new year, you still have 276 days remaining to do that. Isn't that good news?
Yes, it is.
It's good news. Now, we also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download a free app on any electronic device. The name of the app is TuneIn. And once you download it, search WWGH. A lot of people say, well, I'm trying to get a hold of your show. I don't know how to get on, so I'm going to tell you one more time. Live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. And once you enter that into your phone, all you have to do is hit on that, and it goes right to where we are, okay? Also, once again, the app that is called TuneIn, T-U-N-E-I-N, two words. You can download that on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or, why not just call in today and be a part of our program?
Yeah.
Telephone number?
Idea.
Amen. Just call in, be a part of our program. Telephone number 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments, okay, I have my favorite on today, Jeff Porter. We will be talking about expressions of the last days. And I know many of you maybe were not doomsday people, but I bet you've heard Jeff so long and so many times on the air that, plus, not only that, what we've been through, the COVID.
Yes.
That made a lot of people wonder what is going on. But before Jeff and I get to that, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. Starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have free produce market on April the 17th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Please mark your calendars and share this information with others. Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 2 years of experience. Working for you, the owner, Cheryl Lee, location, LaRue, Ohio. And that was 29 years of experience working for the public, okay? I have a thought for today, which I like to start my show off with. But you know what? Before I do that, let me read this. I didn't do it yesterday, so I better do it today. Choosing God's Best Singles Conference. Men and women, welcome. Saturday, April 17th, 2021, which is coming fast, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Register at mymytgp.org/singles. Cost $15. Lunch provided. Location 1300 Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, Ohio, 43302. There will be a time of worship, guest speakers, panel of men, panel of women, and breakout sessions. So it's going to be a fun time. So hopefully you can share that with singles that you may know. And if you're single yourself, hopefully you jot down that information. We will be advertising it again or letting you know about the next time I'm on the air, okay? Now, Beauty of the Sky is the thought for today. And I know I've been seeing rolling clouds in our sky. Like, wow, tornado. Look like tornadoes are up there just rolling.
When was that?
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday?
Yesterday, yes.
Well, that one rainy day, I think it was last week.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yuck.
Wasn't that bad?
Wasn't that awful?
Yes,
I didn't
was.
Even go out in it.
Beauty.
Fortunately, I don't have to.
Amen. That was good. Beauty of the Sky is short but sweet. Leave worries aside, and you will be surprised by the beauty of the sky and the colors of flowers, of the freshness of the breeze and the generosity of the sun. You will feel you are part of creation and life will start to make sense. The greatest wealth is to appreciate what we have and what we are. That was a good word.
Yep.
So that means we're already
wealthy.
Such
a beautiful day today, though.
It is.
Oh, wow. Well, what is it, 70 out there?
Yes. No, 74, I think.
Wow. 74.
That's what my car
said. Well,
it's
been a long time. You know, in Ohio, it just seems like winter just goes on forever. And when spring finally gets here and starts showing some really good weather, you're like, oh, wow. I thought I saw a butterfly.
Yeah. That's true.
You know?
That's true. Or fly.
Or grasshopper.
Or grasshopper.
Oh, wow.
That's later in the year, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And
they like the hot summer, don't they?
Yeah, the praying mantis. They're like later in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like praying mantises.
Yeah. And then your crickets, they're later in the year, too. Later in the summer.
Make a lot of noise.
Yes, they do. But you know what? March is going out like a lion with all these high winds. What do you think?
Have you watched the news about other states, though? And by the way, we had another public shooter. We had a guy shooting up a grocery store in Colorado.
Yeah,
did you know that? Boulder,
that.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Killed 10 people.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Wounded others. That's not good.
No, it's not. What you got to say about that, Jeff?
Well, here we go. You know, it's like God is allowing a certain amount of destruction. Satan, he's still trying to shake up, especially America, who used to be Christian, mm-hmm. now trying to fall away from the truth. And he's trying to say, this is serious, folks.
It is serious.
This is serious. Don't be walking around with that big grin on your face like, you know, our money is going to save us, or our military. We've got the most powerful military. Well, Israel said that.
Right.
And they were overcome by Babylon, you know, and carried away for 70 years into Babylon. Not good.
No.
So, when I say that we're in the last days, I'm not just being a doomsayer.
Right.
I'm saying it's time to face the truth. I remember my doctor. Remember I telling you I had a heart attack in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want to take my meds. You know, I ended up with congestive heart failure and type 2 diabetes. And I didn't they gave me a whole basketball full of medication. And I said, man, you guys are over-medicating me.
Wow.
You know, because I had a lot of side effects from it and stuff. So, but we more or less got that solved now. They've cut it way down to about 5 bottles now.
That's good.
It was about 15, you know.
Oh, my. That's
well, anyways, funny. I remember sitting in the doctor's office, and he said something to the effect that he said, you know, you got to face the truth. Sooner or later, I know you don't like it because you've got this illness, but you got to face the truth,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to die from not taking your medication.
Wow.
He said, you live a long time if you take it. You won't live at all if you don't, because your heart's way down to about 23%.
Ooh.
Well, see, I thought I was one of these where I wanted to rely on faith. I wanted to see if that would work, but mm-hmm. apparently that wasn't in God's plan at the moment, you know. Because he's healed me of a lot of stuff. So I got yelled at and yelled at and ended up in the hospital again. And they were kind of disgusted with me because they knew I wasn't taking my meds. So I said, okay, I guess I don't have any choice.
Right.
Because if I feel really, really bad, I'm going to end up in the hospital and they're going to say, you know, we don't want you in here anymore. If you're not going to take your meds, just leave. Mm. You know. So, started taking my meds, but God just kind of took over. Once I started taking my meds, the cardiac doctor says that my heart's probably back up. It was around 23%. I wasn't feeling too great either.
Right, right.
And he says I'm probably up to about 50% now. Lost a bunch of weight.
No, wait a minute. You went to the hospital since I saw you last?
No, okay. I don't think so. I was talking about that last time.
Okay.
And so going to the hospital really, I might as well take the water pills at home because that's what they do is give me Lasix and then try to get all the water out of me. But I can do that at home.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So I decided to follow their instructions finally. And my doctor at the VA, she's real happy with that.
Well, good.
So, and I'm just feeling better. I'm doing better.
Well, you look better.
Yeah.
You really do.
I feel a lot better.
That's great. That's great.
What I was going to talk about, and yes, I believe that we are under severe warning. Mm-hmm. It's a tribulation's approaching because we have the virus, obviously. It's a strong warning.
Yeah, and it's still around. It hasn't left yet.
Yeah, it's died down quite a bit, and I'm very thankful for that. And this vaccine idea is a very good idea. You know?
Oh, yeah. Everyone doesn't feel like that, but it is a good idea.
It is. And we still have the crisis at the border, but, you know, that's not my problem.
No, hopefully they'll get that under control,
God, I don't
too.
Live close
yeah.
to it. But I went to Walmart yesterday, I think it was. I was looking for a certain kind of wax that makes water bead up because I can put that on my motorcycle. I can put it on the visor and it repels the water when it rains. And I always look at the movies because I like movies. And I came across Samson and Delilah, that old movie.
I have that.
Victor Mature in it.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
I don't think so.
I think he died, didn't he? And that woman, I don't know what her name is, that played Delilah.
Isn't that Rita Hayworth?
It probably is. Mm-hmm. It looks like her.
Yeah.
And this is what happens is, and it's what has happened to the churches. The church has gotten, you know, in America, we don't have much persecution. We have criticism. We have persecution per se. You know, Satan can really mess with you.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have the kind of persecution they have in Egypt and all over Asia and other countries where they kill Christians.
Right, in China.
They torture them. They put them in prison. Yes, China has been really persecuting Christians really bad. North Korea.
Right.
Working them to death in work camps and stuff, you know. A few have escaped and lived to tell us what they're doing over there. It's horrible. So the reason I point out Samson and Delilah, and we are coming up on Easter there, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior.
Yes, we are.
These countries would not be persecuting Christians if they didn't feel threatened by them. They feel a threat. They feel that we're going to, you know, Christians, we're going to upset their tyranny.
They don't want to be told they're wrong. They don't want to be told you shouldn't do that.
Right. Exactly.
They don't want to be told that's wrong, that's sin. They don't want to hear that.
No. And that's the way the world is here. You know, I remember, you know, I used to watch Phil Donahue when I was a kid. I used to watch him all the time, you know. Thought that talk show was one of the few, was like the beginning of TV talk shows. And I don't think any of them has even come close to as good as Phil Donahue was, you know. But he had Madeline Murray O'Hara on there, famous atheist. He had Walter Martin, a famous apologist, all kinds of, and I've got some of those programs on tape, you know.
Oh, okay.
I wish I could show some of those because they're so fascinating, you know. But the point is since we haven't had to face really hardcore persecution in America, I think the American church, the true believers, they've kind of like gone to sleep and not wary of where Satan can, and then Satan's able to creep in, you know. And look at Samson. You know, he was definitely carried away by the flesh. You know, he wanted to go out there and find a Philistine wife.
Mm-hmm.
When they had plenty of women in the Jewish camp. But no, he wanted to go out there and get a Philistine. And, his, you know, his mother's saying in the movie, she says, "What do you want to go to the Philistines for? There's plenty of women here in your own camp." And he says, "It's more fun when you're doing something forbidden."
There you go, the forbidden fruit.
Yes.
Yeah, like Adam and Eve.
Right.
You know, don't touch that tree. Don't eat from that tree.
Yeah, and it makes you want it so bad. That's what happens to me with food.
Yes.
You know, I know I'm not supposed to eat chocolate-covered peanuts, but, they're so good. You know, they really spike my blood, though.
Yeah, they do.
And I really get mad when I get the glucometer and put that strip in there, and it's like it says 200 and something. And I go, "Oh man, come on, that's not right. That's got to be wrong. Glucometer must be off."
Right.
You know. And then I'll work on getting it back down again, and I just go through that hula hoop thing or that roller coaster thing. The point is that the prosperity doctrine, especially, is the most subtle. And Satan, if you really look at the prosperity doctrine, there's a lot to it. It's a very complex false doctrine.
Okay.
Some are. And he has come up with stuff about spiritual warfare, for instance, that is off. You know, he's trying to say that we can rebuke Satan. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. But I don't believe we can rebuke Satan. Here they are trying to tell us that we're gods again. You know.
But if Christ lives in you, which is the hope of glory, why can't we do what he tells us to do? Or what we can do? He said you will be able to cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead. So, the apostles, remember?
If God gives you the unction.
Right, right.
It has to be through Christ.
Absolutely.
So, what I believe is that we have to say, "Lord, you cast this demon out. You know, Lord, you heal this person." That way he gets the credit and not us.
Oh, I agree with you on that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I
right.
do. I believe that, yes. All
okay.
the glory.
So Satan has fooled us as far as spiritual warfare is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled with that one for a long time. Can we cast out demons, or does God cast them out, or how does that work? And I found out I had a couple of bad experiences where I thought I was supposed to cast out demons, and I got they got on me, you know, messed me up. So I believe that we have to go to God and let him do it. Well, we have to go to him in prayer and say, "Lord, you cast out this demon. In the name of Jesus,
right.
you come out."
Mm-hmm.
Not in my Jeff Porter's name.
No, definitely not.
So we have Satan is trying to do is he's trying to cover his tracks. He's trying to prevent the prosperity movement from being contradicted. You know, and he's trying to make Christians feel like, and sometimes when you talk to people who are heavy into prosperity, they've got this kind of arrogance about them.
So when you say prosperity doctrine, explain to the listeners what you mean by that.
Okay. We've had people come along who say, now there was a guy clear back way back in the early 1900s, E.W. Kenyon,
mm-hmm.
and he was going around planting churches. He was doing a lot of good things. And he said when they got into prayer meetings, though, it sounded like he was in a hospital because, you know, it sounds like you're in a hospital because people are asking you to pray for their ailments,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he's like, "Oh, I don't think Christians should be so sick. I think, you know, we should be able to just speak positive words and be able to stretch out our hand and lay hands on somebody and be positive and be faithful and they'd be healed."
Mm-hmm.
But God doesn't heal every time, Linda.
No.
And so that doctrine has a flaw there already. You know, those people are asking for prayer because they've still got their illness, mm-hmm. and they're coming to the church, and they're coming to other Christians and saying, please pray for me.
Right.
And that gives us the opportunity to show some love and some faith, you know.
That's true.
And so I believe they are completely wrong about that. God heals when he decides to heal, not when we decide, you know. The prosperity doctrine is the idea that Christians are supposed to prosper, not supposed to be in any kind of poverty ever and all that. But take a look at the disciples. Take a look at Paul. They didn't. I don't think we're supposed to be seeking after money the way the prosperity movement says. Sometimes I've ended up in poverty as a Christian. Now, God did pull me out of that,
mm-hmm.
you know. He doesn't leave you there forever.
Right.
I don't believe that.
Right.
But the prosperity doctrine is not going to work in, like, Kenya. You know, there's people say, well, if I just speak positive words, and here they are out in the field, you know, herding cows around and, you know.
But he did say, the poor you will have with you always.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I don't think, and Jesus said, you know, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
Right.
At one time, you know.
Do you think that was just because he was out in the hedges and the byways compelling people to
that
come?
That could have been, but he was still broke.
Right.
You know, except for Judas, he had plenty of money.
Whatever was given to them or donated, he was carrying it around in a money pouch, right?
Right, so he could buy what he wanted.
Mm.
You know, and as long as he didn't make it obvious.
Right, sneaky. Sneaky.
Right.
Wow.
So we have, and I believe that passage in Matthew, I believe it's in Matthew 10, where God says, where Jesus said, there will be many in the last day who say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
Mm-hmm.
And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And what does God say to them on the day of judgment? He prophesies that he says,
Get away from me,
you workers of iniquity.
I never
knew you.
Is that a scary thought?
That is scary.
Yes, it is.
Because these guys are not easy. A lot of times prosperity teachers are not easy to recognize. They're very, very on the edge of the truth a lot of times, you know. I'm not as hardcore about things as I used to be about that doctrine because of the time I spent at the PTL club, and I was so disappointed with the way people acted there. But, and you know, something that really irritates me about talking to Christians sometimes is they've got this, and maybe they should, I don't know, they've got this line they draw or a box around what you're talking about. You're not allowed to say certain things. You know, if I say that I tell a whole story how my motorcycle broke down on the way to Bucyrus,
mm-hmm.
and I had to call, you know,
for
roadside
help,
roadside service.
Right.
I've gotten smart in my old age. I got roadside assistance for everything now.
Right.
And and they say, oh, you shouldn't say that. You know, you shouldn't say that you break down and all that stuff. You know, you should be positive about that and say, I didn't break down or something like that, you know, or whatever. They try to make it into it's called positive confession. I'm sure you've run into that before. I believe positive confession has a false side to it, and that is, we can't control everything.
No, we can't.
Do you ever run into a person that's a controller?
Yes, many.
A person that tries to, you know, they may be trying to control you, or you see them trying to control other people,
mm-hmm.
and you know how wrong it is.
Right.
Well, that's what Satan tries to do, is control us, see. He tries to get us into a bathtub of fear. That's what it is, you know. It's almost like Simon Says.
Right.
Well, you didn't say Simon Says, so that's it. You're out,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
So that's why we have all this fear, Linda, is because Satan's been teaching these people through these false prophets and false teachers that, you know, let's tiptoe through the tulips kind of gospel. and it doesn't fit with the truth. See? Because if you have any common sense, or let's say that I think you should get some of these publications about persecution overseas, you know, mm-hmm. the blood of the martyrs or something like that,
right.
and read. And I know it's hard to read some of that stuff because it's brutal.
Yes.
It is absolutely brutal. And what some of the Christians over there and missionaries go through, it's terrible. But see, now America is exporting this false doctrine. And you don't think God's judgment's going to come on America when they're going around the whole world preaching a false doctrine?
Oh, if they're going around the whole world preaching a false doctrine, eventually, yes, judgment is coming. And you know,
especially after they've been thoroughly warned.
That's true. And the way I see, and I may be wrong, when you talk about the four horsemen, they've been riding a long time.
Yes.
They just have. They've been riding a long time. It's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah, the war.
And they're coming faster and faster. The wars, especially the weather, the storm.
You can hear those hooves.
Yeah. And they say, like, volcanoes have opened up that have been closed hundreds and hundreds of years. So, you know, the tornadoes are... supersonic.
Some of those tornadoes in the south, you know,
supersonic.
Just the last couple of days. I mean, the destruction.
Yes.
But this doesn't seem to wake them up.
I know.
It doesn't seem to wake up the world. Now,
they've come numb.
Yeah. Yeah, they become numb because the bad news has been around for so long.
Yeah, long time.
And it's like that shooter in Colorado, you know. They really didn't devote that much time to it in the news. Mm-hmm. I don't think they did. The reason I found out about it is because I was messing around in YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and there was a YouTube section there, you know, a little TV thing that
right.
they do, and I clicked on it, and I said, well, that must be from, you know, a couple years ago or something. And then I looked at it and said, no, it's live. It's going on right now.
Right now.
They captured the guy, you know. That's kind of unusual, too, because they usually shoot themselves.
That's true.
You know. Okay. Christians say, well, the ones that are caught up in prosperity, and, you know, we have Christians that are born-again Christians, sincerely born-again, but have been deceived by the prosperity doctrine. Then there are prosperity cultists, people who have never been saved, but they believe in the prosperity doctrine. Okay, and there are prosperity churches where that's all they preach is, you know.
Is Kenneth Copeland one of them?
Yes. I was just about ready to get to him. Kenneth Hagin started this whole thing.
Okay.
He copied from E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon wrote a bunch of little pamphlets. You know, I used to have those. I don't know how I did it, but I managed to lose them.
Hmm.
I think when I was moving at uh-huh. some time or other, I lost all those pamphlets. I'll be looking for them again here pretty soon. But anyways, and he wrote about how it should be, you know, on what scriptures we should emphasize and stuff like that. He said there's two kinds of faith, you know, one that's based on just God. And they're trying to say that God is a faith being. In other words, God has to use faith, too. And I tell you, Linda, God does not have to use faith. That's for us. What would God have faith
before.
In?
I haven't heard that before. Are you serious?
Yeah. Because they're trying to bring God down to our level.
Oh, that's dangerous.
You see the blasphemy in that?
Yeah, that's dangerous.
And trying to exalt us up to God's level.
That's dangerous.
We're the God, and Jesus is the man. They're trying to say that we're the gods.
Whoa. Now that's deep, Jeff.
It's bad.
That is
very bad. That's what I've been trying to say, you know.
Yeah.
And I know God led me to talk about this today.
Yeah, he put you on my mind. I told you that
last
night.
Yeah, praise God.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed that I had a little bit of satanic, demonic harassment on the way here. Not real bad, just things that I know are of the devil
mm-hmm.
took place, you know, in traffic and stuff.
Trying to stop you from getting here?
Yeah, you've probably had that happen before. You know,
of course.
Just weird stuff happening on the way here. they try to say, when you come up to them and you say, you know, and I had a couple of really bad battles at Victory and Truth Ministries, you know.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, real bad. And they try to say that, and I can't just sit there and let them walk all over the gospel. I'm sorry, but I can't.
Right.
And they try to say, if you say you're preaching false doctrine here, I don't think they even have an inkling as that there is such a thing going on in American church. You know, the American
church has become blind.
It has become absolutely blind and deaf.
And deaf. They can't hear or see it, right?
They can't see or hear anything. And perilous times we're in, you know.
Yes.
They say that their big thing is to say, judge not, as Jesus said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. But it says in Revelation, I'm going to read you some scriptures here real quick that I have written out in my Bible. If you want to write these down, it would probably help you a lot.
Okay.
Revelation 18:4, come out from among them.
And be you separate, right?
Yep. Romans 16:17, mark and avoid false prophets. So there must be such a thing, huh?
Yes, it is.
Ephesians 5:1. Let me make sure here. I got to put on my reading glasses. Yeah, Ephesians 5:1. And I've got a dash 13. I don't know what that's all about. Have no fellowship with them. This is very important. If you've got a Christian brother or sister who is heavily involved in false doctrine, and refuses to listen to anything, refuses to change their attitude and their heart attitude, then you've got to withdraw from them.
That's eventually. No fellowship with non-believers. Is that it?
No, it's false doctrine. Anyone that is, I'm talking about false doctrine right now. So it doesn't mean that you forsake everybody that's in false doctrine. Just use some discernment and talk to the Lord and you know, it don't mean that, you know, you shut off everybody that's got... Sometimes people just have pieces of the prosperity doctrine, and, you know, you can't just throw them all out, you know.
Right.
But if somebody is really heavy into it, and they're trying to spread it around, and they're not listening to nothing, then it's time to withdraw from them.
Right.
2 Thessalonians 3:6, withdraw from them. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:5-7, turn away from false doctrines. 2 Corinthians 6:17, separate from false brothers. 2 John 10:11, do not receive false prophets into your home.
Uh-oh.
Now that, in today, would include television. And unless you're doing an apologetics thing where you're researching this guy, you know, you turned on Kenneth Copeland because you're researching what he says and you're recording it or writing it down so that you can use that to warn others, you know.
Or read your Bible so you will know the difference.
Yes. 1 Corinthians 10:15, judge ye what I say. In other words, a preacher's up there preaching today. Now, you used to be able to, like, you know, 20 years ago, be able to sit there and go to be half asleep in church, and you don't have to worry about a bunch of false junk coming at you, you know.
You have to be careful now, don't you?
But now, these days, you got to be very careful. Don't sit there half asleep and be checking what, if you hear something from the preacher that seems kind of false, then make sure you look it up. You may want to discuss that with him if he will let you.
Mm-hmm, right, if he will let you.
Yeah. We've got a lot of them today. They won't talk to people.
Oh, no. They don't want to be told they're wrong. We just talked about
that earlier. Exactly. 1 Corinthians 5:11-13, we are to judge or get away. In other words, we are, again, getting away from the false prophets or any Christian, other Christian that you're friends with that's walking disorderly before the Lord, and it's really a bad situation there. They're drinking and smoking pot, living a promiscuity a kind of life. I would suggest that you depart from that person. Luke 12:57, judge what is right. 2 Peter 3:17, beware of falling. In other words, you know,
be wary. Of falling. Yeah.
Be wary. Don't be asleep as a Christian. Don't walk around. You know, I know people that have a lot of scripture memorized, but it doesn't seem to affect them. You know, preachers, too, they preach about a lot of stuff about forgiveness and love to other people, and they practice none of it.
Yeah.
You know, their behavior is far from what they preach. John 7:24, judge a right judgment.
Judge right. That's a good word, isn't it?
Yeah. 1 John, well, if you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying, you don't have a relationship with the Lord, it's very hard to make a right judgment. 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit.
Amen.
That's a good one, because there's a lot of church tradition, I think, that is incorrect.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of big ones, you know. Titus 1:9-13, admonish false prophets. If there's a person in your congregation or a person in your life that is propagating false prophecies, false doctrine, admonish them. Tell them, show them what's wrong. Study the Bible and show them where they're wrong.
Right.
You know, and you may save that person's soul.
True.
By doing that. And others.
And others. Yes, absolutely.
You know, Deuteronomy 13, God told the Jews that false prophets must die back in the Old Testament. Now, there's a good reason for that. You know, you may say, well, that's awfully harsh. Not really, because God was establishing his word back then.
And what they're doing, a false prophet calls God a liar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting there in 1 John 1:10. I know people who say they've never sinned. I mean, they literally say that.
I've heard that before, too.
And I say, 1 John 1:10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and the truth is not in us.
That's what's going on today.
But people think they are gods these days, you know.
That's the only way you can be perfect, right?
Yeah. And God cannot allow, so you better be right, because God cannot allow sin into his kingdom. And the only way you can eradicate sin is through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, you must.
It's not rocket science.
No, you must accept the finished works at the cross.
That's right. And what did Jesus say, as I said many times in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but
through me.
By me.
Amen.
You know, what's her name? Raphael? The black woman that had the talk show, what was her name?
Oprah.
Oprah. I always want to call her Raphael.
She said there were many ways.
Yes, and yeah. She was.
And Joel Osteen, he didn't say it either. He wouldn't say it.
You know, that really is astounding, because if you, I challenge you to turn on some of these interviews he had with Larry King, because Larry King had him on quite a bit when he first started.
Okay.
And he asked him that question many times, do you believe Jesus is the only way?
Mm-hmm.
And Joel Osteen every time would say, I don't know who's going to heaven, Larry. Do you know who's going to heaven? We can't judge these people's hearts, you know. But yes, the Bible says that we are supposed to use discernment. We are supposed to judge what a person says.
Yes.
What they write.
Yes.
Against the word of God. If it don't line up, then throw it out.
Because that is our guide.
That's right. I'm not judging that person, but the word of God sure is.
But you know how they're getting away with a lot of that? They're discrediting the Bible.
Yes. Now, like I said, I was in a big argument as many times when I used to drive
many
the bus.
Times,
I used to argue about the Bible a lot in there. And there was this one guy, he kept, and I hear the same argument every time I'm talking to unbelievers. They say, How do I know the Bible's accurate?
There you go.
You know, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus walked the earth, and it's been longer than that, at least 10,000 years,
right,
since Moses received the Ten Commandments.
10,000 years.
Yeah, at least, you know. And we go. We could go clear back to Noah, clear back to the Garden of Eden. And I say to them this, all right, Romans 3:23, they can't get around this, but they choose to ignore it. But Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of..." Now, here's another scripture that says Jesus is the only way. Mm-hmm. Says it in a different way. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What does all mean to you and me?
Everybody.
Everybody. So, let's take a look at the world out there. Crime, violence, war, drugs, alcohol, you know, home violence. If sin is not the cause of that problem out there, what is? And they always just sit there and look at me and go, "Well, I don't know. I don't know." And say, "Okay, so you take other religions.
Mm-hmm.
You take Buddhism, you take, you know, Hare Krishna, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, all of them. How do you get, you know, you can become part of that and it makes you feel good, but what are you going to do with the sin? You got to give it to Jesus.
Amen.
You got to let his blood cover it and disintegrate it.
He was the only one who could do away with sin because he was the perfect sacrifice.
That's right.
Without spot or wrinkle or
right.
any such thing.
Yeah.
And he was holy.
And there's no other, these other false prophets, they're not brave enough to even claim that they had a resurrection or that they can eradicate sin.
No. No.
They always try to eradicate sin through good works.
It will not get you into heaven.
No.
You can please people with your good works, but you can't please God with your good works.
We even have that trouble in the Christian church. People,
oh, I know you
people
do.
Just think they're going to please God by running around all day long, 7 days a week, helping others. There's a certain amount of that I think is good. Now, you can do good works and really help people,
oh, yeah.
but you're going to run out of steam if God hasn't called you to that.
True.
You're going to become resent. You're going to start resenting people.
Oh, yeah.
I've been through that myself,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
So I'm going to get rid of this condemnation on me by just being goody-goody-goody all the time.
Yeah.
And the Lord corrected me on that.
That.
You know, he said, okay, you know, and we all, I think all of us go through that.
Yes.
At some time or other.
I think so, too.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For it is by grace ye are saved, and by faith, and not by works." "It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Gift of God.
Lest any man should boast."
Amen.
So we can't boast when we go before the Lord. "Have we not prophesied in thy name, Lord?
Yes.
Have we not done wonderful works?" And the Lord, "I didn't authorize that stuff.
Right.
You went off and did it on your own."
That's right.
You know, and it's not going to do that much good when it's not authorized of God.
No, and he said, "Why are you out there saying I said this? I have not said that."
Yeah.
"That is not me. That is you."
That's right.
You know, wow.
You know, at one time I wanted to, I remember I even picked up a book that talked about this very thing, but I had lived on the streets for so long.
We are out of
and
time.
Then I wanted to start a homeless shelter, you know, and start helping the homeless.
Got 30 seconds.
The Lord spoke to my heart that is not what he wants me to do, you know.
And we have to pay attention to what God has called us to do. And if you're not sure what your gift is, ask, pray,
yeah.
read the Word of God, and he will lead you and guide you.
He will show you. He may not show you right away.
The way you should go, absolutely. But, Jeff, we are out of time. It's been a good show.
It's been a very good one.
Yes, it has. I knew you had a lot on you because the Lord laid Yes. Have a heart. And thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard, performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel that, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the Tomb of King Tut, there's a Chuck Full of Nuts and McDonald's. At the Scala, they sing by a Big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
What would we do without gossip, for heaven's sake? Oh, it's naughty, but it certainly fulfills a certain catty side of all of us. Oh, good Lord. When you think of the gossip sessions you've had with friends over the years, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like putting your hands in front of a lovely fire.
I would do
anything you want, Scott. You know I enjoy being on your show. But just let me talking and I keep going.
To the oldest working...